So make a video.
Okay. Sounds good. Are you translating or no?
Er der brug for oversættelse? Det er der. I will be translating.
Okay. Do you want to stand here?
No.
You're good. Yeah. Good morning again. God's peace be with you. Wait. Good afternoon. I like this schedule. Our schedule at church is all everything finishes by 12:30. So church and Bible study and then church and then so.
Hos os der slutter vi klokken halv et, og der er først gudstjeneste, så bibelstudie og så gudstjeneste, og så er vi færdige halv et.
So it's nice to have lunch and be back together again for Bible study.
Men dejligt at være tilbage nu efter vores lunch.
We're going to put our attention on Revelation chapter 12 this afternoon, which is a wonderful text.
Nu vil vi kigge på Johannes Åbenbaring, kapitel 12, som er en vidunderlig tekst.
We'll pray that God would give us His Holy Spirit so our ears and our hearts would be open to hear His word.
Lad os bede.
Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you through Christ Jesus for the great gift of your word. And we pray that through it you would give us wisdom and comfort and peace through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gud, giv os visdom og fred gennem dit ord ved Jesus Kristus. Amen.
For the book of Revelation, we want to think about two things by way of preface. So if I could give you two thoughts before we go into the text. The first is that when we read in the scriptures, we want to give special attention to the throne room of God.
Når vi taler om Johannes Åbenbaring, er der to indledende bemærkninger, jeg gerne vil give jer. Og den første, det er, at vi taler om Guds trone i himlen.
So when we read in the Psalms about how God sits on the throne, or when we read that the prophets stood in the council of the Lord, we want to pay special attention to those texts.
Når vi læser i skriften om at Gud sidder på sin trone og at profeterne de står rundt omkring, så vil vi særligt lægge mærke til den her tekst.
You guys can help me with this because in the United States we don't have any royalty. So there's no throne rooms at all.
Vi i USA, vi har ikke rigtig forstand på det med troner, for vi har ingen kongelige i vores land, så det kan I hjælpe os med at forstå.
But you have a throne here, and that throne room is an important thing, because what happens in that throne room matters for the entire country.
Men der hvor at regenten sidder i tronens rum, det er et sted, som får betydning for hele landet.
Remember in the ancient world, when the kings would sit on the throne, that was all of the government that was happening there in one place.
Der hvor kongen sad i sit tronsæde i rummet, der foregik alle beslutninger, som gjaldt for hele landet.
So the king would make the law and enforce the law, and he would send out armies from the throne room to bring that law to other places.
Kongen både bestemte, hvad loven var, og han fik også loven ført ud i praksis. Han sendte soldater ud, så at det kunne ske også om muligt med magt.
Remember especially King Solomon in the Old Testament, who prayed for wisdom, and the Lord gave him this great wisdom. And then, remember what happened, is there was the two women who had children, and one of the babies died, and so they were in bringing the child before the throne of Solomon for judgment. He wasn't just the king, he was also the judge.
I forbindelse med kong Salomo, så hører vi jo om, at han bad Gud om visdom til at træffe de rette beslutninger. Og der er fortællingen om de to kvinder, som havde strid om, hvis barn, der var død, og hvis barn, der levede. Og der blev det bragt foran kongen, og han var så den, der besluttede.
The Bible teaches that there is a heavenly throne room, and that God sits on the throne.
Bibelen lærer os, at der er et himmelsk tronsæde, og at Gud sidder der.
And there's at least five things that are happening in that throne room.
Der er fem ting, som finder sted i dette tronens rum.
Number one, there's conversation happening.
Der er en samtale for det første.
Especially between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Mellem Faderen, Sønnen og Helligånden.
And the angels and saints are involved in that conversation as well.
Og englene og de hellige, de er involveret i den samtale.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to think that the Father and Son are talking with one another and that we get to hear what the conversation is about.
Det er jo fantastisk, at Faderen og Sønnen og Helligånden taler sammen, og vi får lov til at lytte med.
We have that three times in the New Testament, and we heard one of them in the Gospel reading today. When Jesus prays to the Father, glorify your name, and the Father answers, and he says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.
Vi har tre steder i den hellige skrift. Et af dem var i dag, hvor Jesus han beder til Faderen, og vi hører også Faderens svar. Fader, herliggør dit navn. Jeg har herliggjort det.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, the first thing is the conversation. The second thing is the court, or the judgment.
Det første, det var altså samtalen. Det andet, det er domstolen.
So the Lord sits on the throne as judge.
Han sidder på tronsædet som dommer.
And just like a earthly courtroom, there's someone that stands in the middle. They're the accused. And there's an accuser and a defendant.
Og ligesom i en jordisk domsal, så er der både en dommer og en anklager og en forsvarer.
The Hebrew word for accuser is a word that we recognize. It's the word Satan.
Og ordet anklager, det er det ord, vi har med Satan.
That's what that means. The one who brings the accusations to the Lord's people.
Djævlen, Satan, er ham, som anklager Guds folk overfor Gud.
And the word for defender we recognize as a Greek word. It's the word paraklete.
Og forsvarer, det har vi i et græsk ord, der hedder paraklet.
How does that go? In Danish, do you have that same thing, the paraklet?
Vi har vist hørt om parakleten, men det er jo talsmanden.
Talsmanden?
Talsmanden, ja. And so, talsmanden.
And remember in Jesus says, I will send you the paraklete, and I will send you the comforter, or I will, is that the...
Yeah, jeg vil sende jer en anden talsmand. Det er det ord, der bruges, spokesman.
Yeah, and we also have in 1 John chapter 3 that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
Og der står i 1. Johannes brev, kapitel 2, at vi har en advokat hos Faderen. Og i dansk oversættelse står der, vi har en talsmand hos Faderen.
So the picture of heaven as a court is that we're standing there, and the devil is accusing us, and Jesus is defending us.
Og så har vi altså her billedet af himlen som en retssal, hvor at Gud han er dommeren, hvor djævlen anklager os, og hvor Jesus forsvarer os.
So think of Job chapter 1, and Job is there before the Lord, and the devil is accusing him.
Tænk på Jobs bog, kapitel 1, hvor der fortælles om, at djævlen kom til Gud og anklagede Job.
So really quickly, the other things that happen at the throne room, so we have the conversation and the court. Then we have petitions being heard.
Vi har altså samtalen, vi har, det var en retssag. Og det tredje, det er, at der er bønner.
So these are the prayers being brought before the Lord. And then there's also worship that happens before the throne.
Og så er der også gudstjeneste, som finder sted foran Guds trone.
And the fifth thing that happens is the Lord sends people from the throne.
Og det femte og sidste, det er, at Gud han sender mennesker fra tronen ud i verden.
So the prophets were sent from the throne of God. Jesus was sent from the throne of God to come down to rescue us. And this is how you should think of your pastor, is that the Lord sent him from the throne room to make known his word and his wisdom.
Profeterne blev udsendt fra Guds trone, og også tjenere i den kristne kirke sendes fra Guds trone. Og sådan skal man også tænke om en præst, at han er sendt fra Guds trone til at tjene.
So that throne room is part of the background of this text in Revelation 12.
Denne tronsal, dette rum, hvor Guds trone er, det er baggrunden, når vi nu læser Åbenbaringen kapitel 12.
The other thing by way of preface that I want to think about is the book of how to read the book of Revelation itself, which is oftentimes an intimidating book. People hear about Revelation and they're scared.
Den anden indledende bemærkning, det handler om, hvordan vi skal læse Johannes Åbenbaring. For der er nogen, der ligesom er lidt bange for at nærme sig den bog.
It's a strange book. It's a lot of strange visions, strange monsters and beasts and things like that in the book. And so a lot of people don't want to read it. But I'll suggest three things about reading the book of Revelation.
Der er jo i bogen forskellige uhyre, væsener, som træder frem, som kan være virkelig skrækkelige at læse ham. Og nu vil jeg nævne tre ting for jer i den forbindelse.
So number one, when you read the first verse, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ.
I Johannes Åbenbaring kapitel 1, vers 1 står der Jesu Kristi åbenbaring.
So it's not the revelation of the end of the world, it's not the revelation of the antichrist or the political whatever, it's a revelation of Jesus.
Det er altså ikke en åbenbaring om de sidste tider eller om antikrist, men det er en åbenbaring om og af Jesus Kristus.
The second thing, and this is important, is that you have to pay attention to what you see and what you hear.
Og det andet, det er, at man skal være opmærksom på, hvad man ser og hvad man hører.
So an example in Revelation chapter 5, John says, I heard the lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered and is able to open the seal.
I Johannes åbenbaring kapitel 5 står der, at jeg hørte, at Judas løve, han havde sejret, og at han kunne bryde seglet.
And I looked, and I saw the lamb who had been slain.
Og så jeg det lam, der var slagtet.
So can you imagine the picture if I said, I heard a lion coming in the door, and we all looked to the back, and coming into the door is a little lamb.
Forestil jer, at først hører man, at nu kommer der en løve ind ad døren, og så kigger man, og hvad kommer der? Der kommer et lille lam.
Yeah, but it's the same. The lion and the lamb are they're the same person. They both refer to Jesus.
Men både løven og lammet er den samme person, og det refererer til Jesus begge to.
He is the lion who conquers, but he is also the lamb who was sacrificed. He's both together.
Jesus er løven, som er sejrherre, men han er også lammet, som blev offret.
Another example of this, the difference between hearing and seeing, is in Revelation chapter 7. At first he says, I heard the number 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel.
Et andet eksempel på forskellen, eller på at både bliver hørt og set, det er i Johannes åbenbaring kapitel 7, hvor der står, at jeg hørte tallet på dem, og det var 144,000.
And then he looked and he saw a multitude that couldn't be numbered from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.
Og så så han. Og det han så, det var en talrig skare, som ikke kunne tælles.
And it refers to the same thing. It's talking about the church. It's talking about us.
Og det refererer til det samme, både det han hørte om de 144,000 og så den talrige skare fra alle folkeslag. Det er kirken.
So whenever we're reading the book of Revelation, we're paying attention to what I hear and what I see, and it's like getting the same thing from a different angle.
Så når vi læser Johannes åbenbaring, skal vi lægge mærke til, hvad der bliver sagt, vi hører, og hvad der bliver sagt, vi ser, og det er den samme sag, bare fra to forskellige sider.
The third thing to think about as we read the book of Revelation is this move between heaven and earth.
Det tredje, som er vigtigt, det er bevægelsen mellem himmel og jord.
The word revelation is from the Greek apocalypse, apokalypto, which means to pull back the veil.
Ordet åbenbaring, det er på græsk apokalypse, og det betyder, at man drager et forhæng væk, så man nu ser, hvad der er bagved.
And so the Lord pulls back the veil, and John can see all these terrible things happening on the earth.
Og nu bliver så forhænget draget til side, og så kan Johannes se alle de også forfærdelige ting, der sker på jorden.
The stars are falling into the ocean, and the blood and the rivers are running with blood, and all the world is falling apart.
Stjernerne, de falder ned fra himlen, floderne, de flyder med blod, og der sker så mange uhyggelige ting.
And you think that it must be that God has lost control, that the devil is ruling and reigning in this world.
Og så er det, at vi mennesker, vi kunne tænke, nå ja, nu har Gud mistet kontrollen.
And so then the Lord pulls back the veil to see the throne room of heaven, to see who's sitting on the throne.
Men så er det, at forhænget bliver trukket til side, og så ser vi ind i domsalen, tronsalen.
And there's the Lamb of God, as he was slain, ruling and reigning.
Og der sidder Gud på tronen, og der er lammet, det slagtede lam, som regerer.
So can you imagine it, that we're living our lives, and it seems like the devil's in charge, and everything's gone to pot and everything's falling apart and we wonder who's ruling and reigning, and then this is what the gift that the revelation gives to us. It just pulls back the curtain and we can check who's on the throne, and on the throne is the Lord Jesus, who's ruling and reigning all things for us.
Og det er en stor, stor gave til os, når vi føler, at vores liv er ved at gå i stykker og alt falder fra hinanden, så er det, at Gud han åbner, han trækker forhængen fra, og så ser vi, hvem der egentlig regerer. Det er ham.
And this takes us to the central vision of the book of Revelation, which is Revelation chapter 12.
Og her er vi så nået frem til det centrale kapitel i Johannes åbenbaring, som er kapitel 12.
So we have it in front of us, and we'll walk through the text.
Nu har vi det foran os, og lad os gå igennem teksten sammen.
So it starts like this: a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars.
Og et stort tegn viste sig på himlen, en kvinde klædt i solen med måne og under sine fødder og med en krone af 12 stjerner på sit hoved.
We'll remember that. Maybe this should be the fourth thing for reading the book of Revelation, is it's grabbing so much of its imagery and so much of the language from the Old Testament.
En fjerde ting, som er vigtig, når vi læser Johannes åbenbaring, det er at være opmærksom på, at der er så mange billeder og begreber, som vi har fra det gamle testamente.
So when we hear the moon and the sun and the 12 stars, we remember the dream of Jacob.
Når vi hører om solen, månen og de 12 stjerner, så tænker vi jo på fortællingen om Jakob.
And the moon and the stars and the moon and the sun and the stars bow down and worship the star, and that was the dream that Jacob had that got him in trouble with his brothers. That's why they sold him into slavery.
Og det var månen og stjernerne, der bøjede sig, og de bøjede sig for Jakob, og det bragte så store problemer i familien.
And so this woman here is Israel in the Old Testament.
Den kvinde, som her omtales, det er Israel i det gamle testamente.
Verse 2 says, and she was pregnant and crying out in birth pangs and agony of giving birth.
Vers 2, hun skulle føde, og hun skreg af smerte i sine fødselsvære.
This refers to the very first preaching of the gospel from Genesis 3:15.
Dette refererer til første gang evangeliet bliver forkyndt i Bibelen, nemlig 1. Mosebog, kapitel 3, vers 15.
You remember that the Lord came and found Adam and Eve and the devil in the garden, and he said, I will put enmity between you, the devil, and between the woman, and between your seed and her seed.
I husker, at Gud han kom, Herren han kom, og fandt Adam og Eva i Edens have og djævlen, og så sagde han, jeg vil sætte fjendskab mellem dig og hende. Mellem dig og hendes sæd.
And that's that that verse is the proto-evangelion, the first gospel, and that means that Adam and Eve's hope will be in the child.
Og det er det første proto, det første evangelium vi har, og det betyder at Adam og Eva skulle sætte deres håb til barnet.
And so all of the Old Testament has that hope of the child that will come, who will destroy the devil, who will crush the serpent's head.
I Gamle Testamente hører man igen og igen om håbet er knyttet til barnet, som vil komme og knuse slangen.
This explains why the pharaohs wanted to kill the children of Israel. The pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Og det refererer også til, at kong Farao, han ønskede at dræbe Israels børn.
Or why Herod wanted to kill all the children in Bethlehem.
Og også kong Herodes, der ville dræbe alle drengebørnene i Bethlehem.
They were fighting against the children because the Lord had promised that through this child the world would be saved.
De kæmpede mod børnene, fordi at Gud havde lovet at frelse verden ved barnet.
In fact, all of the trouble of the Old Testament is captured for us in the next verse. Verse 3, it says, another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail swept a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore the child, he might devour it.
Og alle de frygtelige ting, der er i det gamle testamente, har vi her i vers 3 og 4. Og der viste sig et andet tegn på himlen, en stor ildrød drage med 7 hoveder og 10 horn og 7 kroner på sine hoveder. Dens hale fejede en tredjedel af himlens stjerner bort og styrtede dem ned på jorden. Dragen stillede sig foran kvinden, der skulle føde, for at sluge hendes barn, så snart hun fødte.
So we have in 4 verses the entire Old Testament summarized for us.
Her i de første 4 vers er Gamle Testamente sammenfattet.
And then in verse 5 we have the entire New Testament.
Og i vers 5 har vi så hele Nye Testamente.
It goes from Christmas all the way to the ascension of Jesus.
Og det begynder med jul, og det går frem til Jesu.
She gave birth to a male child, Christmas.
Hun fødte en søn, jul.
Who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron.
Som skal vogte alle folkeslagene med et jernscepter.
That's from Psalm 2.
Det er et citat fra Salme 2.
And her child was caught up to God and to his throne.
Og hendes barn blev bortrykket til Gud og hans trone.
That's the ascension of Jesus.
Det er Kristi himmelfart.
And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God in which she was to be nourished for 1260 days.
Men kvinden flygtede ud i ørkenen. Der har hun et sted som Gud har gjort rede til hende, for at hun skal få sin føde der i 1260 dage.
This is a description of the church. This is how we are now. We are the woman fled in the wilderness being protected by God.
Og det er en beskrivelse af kirken, som vi er. Kirken, som lever i ørkenen og beskyttes det sted, Gud har gjort rede til os.
But what's really of interest to John and to us today is what happens in heaven when Jesus ascends.
Og det, som nu er vigtigt for os at vide, det er, hvad sker der, når at Jesus han drager til himmel.
Because Jesus is ascending into heaven as the one who was crucified for our sins.
For Jesus han drager jo til himlen som den, der blev korsfæstet for vores synder.
The one who's accomplished salvation for all of the world.
Ham, der har fuldbragt frelse for hele verden.
So that Jesus now enters into the heavenly throne room as our advocate.
Så nu kommer Jesus ind i det himmelske, den himmelske tronsal som vores advokat.
He brings his blood, his suffering and his death as a witness against the devil.
Han bringer med sig sit stedfortrædende udgydet blod som et forsvar imod djævlen.
And so the devil who is there accusing us all the time, he can't accuse us anymore.
Og så kan djævlen, som ellers står der og anklager os hele tiden, han kan ikke længere anklage os.
What and think of it this way. This is really wonderful. What sin have you done that is not forgiven by Jesus?
Prøv at overveje. Hvilken synd har du begået, som ikke Jesus han har er død for?
What part of your sinfulness is not cleansed by his blood?
Er der nogen del af dit syndregister, som ikke er renset af hans blod?
This is a, as a pastor, this is all the time people are coming to me and they are afraid that they've sinned so bad, that they've done something so wrong that Jesus couldn't possibly forgive their sins.
Som præst, der er det her, når nogen kommer og siger, jamen jeg har syndet, og det her kan Gud umuligt tilgive.
And I sometimes say to them, I think you're right. Jesus, he's just too weak to forgive that sin. Your sin is so much stronger than Jesus, who created the world, that you're probably doomed.
Så er det, jeg så har fint på at sige, ja, det har du nok ret i, at din søn er noget større end Jesus, den almægtige, og at ham, som har himlen og jorden i sin hånd, han kan nok ikke klare at tilgive dig det.
Jesus forgave the sins of the entire world except for you.
Jesus han tilgav hele verden alle deres synder, men ikke lige dig.
But you are such a great sinner, such a strong, profound sinner that you've managed to sin so great that Jesus can't get to it.
Du er simpelthen så excellent i det at være synder, så at det overgår alt andet, og Jesus kan bare ikke tilgive dig.
And I think they realize that that's certainly impossible.
Og så kommer smilet lidt frem, og det er nok umuligt det her.
Jesus is a much better savior than we are sinners.
Jesus han er en meget bedre frelser, end vi er syndere.
And he died for the sins of all the world.
Og han døde for alle menneskers synder.
Including ours.
Også vores.
And that means that there's nothing left for the devil to accuse.
Og det indebærer, at der ikke er noget tilbage, som djævlen kan anklage os for.
And every time the devil tries to bring an accusation against us, he insults Jesus.
Og hver gang at djævlen han forsøger at anklage os, så er det Jesus han krænker.
And so the devil who's trying to bring that accusation in the heavenly court is, we have it in the United States, they're held in contempt of court. Is there a thing like that?
Den kan jeg ikke klare. For retten. Ja, okay.
Yeah. So he has to be removed.
Ja. Og altså, når djævlen han krænker Jesus på den måde, jamen så er det at så er det foragt for selve retten, og så skal han.
So we always in court we have a bailiff. I wonder what that word is. There's a policeman or a soldier who's in charge of keeping order in the court, and he serves the judge. And so the judge would say to the bailiff, "Remove him from the court."
Og i en retssal, der har man også nogle soldater eller nogle betjente, som sørger for, at tingene sker ordentligt, og hvis nogen de ikke bør være i retssalen, så bliver de af dommeren beordret ud ved hjælp af betjenten. Og
yeah. So you see how it is. So Jesus brings into the court his blood, his suffering, his cross, and now the devil is trying to make accusations, and not only whenever he makes an accusation, he's insulting Jesus. And so God the Father says to the bailiff, the archangel Michael, remove him from court.
Nu kommer så Jesus ind i retssalen med sit hellige blod, som en soning for alle de synder. Og nu kommer djævlen så og anklager, og så siger dommeren, faderen, han siger så, fjern den her mand, for han hører ikke hjemme i retssalen. Og så siger han det til ærkeenglen Michael, som så kommer og tager den onde engel djævlen og udviser ham af retssalen.
But the devil doesn't want to leave, and so now all of a sudden there's a war in heaven.
Men djævlen han vil ikke følge ordre, og nu bliver der så krig i himlen.
That's verse 7.
Og det er vers 7.
Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fought fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back.
Og der blev krig i himlen. Michael og hans engle gik i krig med dragen, og dragen og dens engle tog kampen op.
But he, that is the devil, was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven.
Men kunne ikke stå sig, og de, nemlig djævlen og hans engle, havde ikke længere plads i himlen.
And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, and he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him.
Den blev styrtet, den store drage, den gamle slange, som hedder djævlen og Satan, og som forfører hele verden.
And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now salvation and the power of and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser," there it is, that word Satan, "for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God."
Og jeg hørte en høj røst i himlen sige, "Nu er frelsen og magten og riget vor Guds og herredømmet er hans salvedes, for vores brødres anklager er styrtet. Han som dag og nat anklagede dem for Gud."
So you got to think of the heavenly throne room being described here. Here's God the judge, and here the devil is accusing you. But here comes Jesus with his blood and his righteousness, and now the devil is thrown out so that he can no longer accuse you anymore before God the Father.
Så se det her billede for dig. Domsalen, faderen sidder der. Jesus kommer med sit blod. Alle dine synder er tilgivet. Djævlen anklager og angriber. Men så bliver han bortvist fra himlen. Nu er der ikke nogen, der kan anklage dig længere.
It's not only a vision, this is a description of the reality.
Men det er ikke bare en vision det her, det er virkeligheden.
This is how it is right now, that the devil is cast out of heaven so that there's no argument against you in the heavenly throne room.
Og det her, det er altså sådan som virkeligheden er nu, der findes ikke en eneste anklage mod dig i den himmelske retssal.
But now what happens? The devil is thrown down to earth, and so he brings his argument not to God the Father, but he brings his argument to us in the courtroom of our own conscience.
Men nu er det så, at når djævlen ikke længere kan gøre det i den himmelske retssal, så kommer han til os ind i vores samvittigheder med anklagerne.
So the devil comes and he accuses you of your sin, and he tries to make you feel guilty of all the things that you've done wrong. And he tries to convince you that God can't possibly love you because of all the commandments that you've broken.
Han kommer til dig og fortæller dig om alt det du har gjort og siger at Gud kan da umuligt tilgive dig for alt det onde du har gjort.
And that conversation is happening again in the courtroom of the conscience, in the courtroom of our own hearts all the time.
Og den samtale, den finder sted i vores hjertes retssal.
The devil is accusing and excusing us.
Djævlen, han anklager os eller undskylder os.
He tries to tell us before we sin. He tries to say, "Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Go ahead and sin. Nobody's looking. Nobody will be hurt. Do whatever you want."
Han siger, før vi begår synden, undskylder os og siger, at det kan du roligt gøre. Der sker ikke noget ved det. Der er ingen, der ser det. Der er ikke nogen konsekvenser.
And then after we sin, he comes with that accusation of the law, and he says, "How could you have done that? I thought you were a Christian. And look at all the wrong things that you've done."
Og når du så har begået synden, så kommer han og siger, "Hvordan kunne du da gøre det? Du er jo en kristen, alt er tabt for dig nu.
This is the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in, fighting against the devil. And the question then is, how do we fight back?
Og det er den kamp, vi som kristne står i, den strid, vi som kristne står i, og spørgsmålet er, hvordan kan vi modstå djævlen?
And the next verse is going to tell us that there's three things that the Lord has given us on earth, which we use to overcome the devil.
Og nu gives os så svaret på det vigtige spørgsmål. Der er tre ting, som vi får af Gud.
Verse 11.
And they,
that's you and me, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Those three things.
Og de tre ting står i vers 11. De har besejret ham, det første ved lammets blod, det andet ved deres vidnesbyrds ord, og det tredje, de havde ikke livet forkert til at gå i døden.
So the first thing is the blood of the Lamb, and the second thing is the word of God, and we ask ourselves, where do we find that?
Det første, det er lammets blod, og det andet, det er vidnesbyrdets ord. Hvor finder vi det?
The answer is right here.
Svaret er lige her.
In other words, the church service, the liturgy of the church, is the heavenly court brought down to earth.
En gudstjeneste, det er, at den himmelske dom, det himmelske tronstol, himmelske retssal, den bringes lige ned til os, lige her.
So just as Jesus brought his blood as the evidence before God the Father,
og ligesom Jesus, han altså bragte sit blod som vidnesbyrd over for faderen,
that testifies of his righteousness and his perfection and the forgiveness of all of our sins,
som bevidner hans retfærdighed, og at alle vores synder er os tilgivet.
Now he puts his blood right here on earth for us.
Han kommer her på jorden og giver os sit legeme.
And it testifies of the same thing, the same exact thing. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of sins.
Og i nadveren, der er det jo vor Herres Jesu Kristi blod, som er givet og udgydt for os til syndernes forladelse.
So the devil says, your sins are not forgiven? And we say, no, I know better than that. The blood of Jesus was for me for the forgiveness of my sins.
Så når djævlen siger, dine synder er ikke tilgivet, så siger vi, jeg ved noget bedre, for Jesu Kristi blod blev udgydt til syndernes forladelse for mig.
And the same thing also with the word of God. Jesus is testifying before God the Father in heaven of your righteousness, and now he's sent a messenger from the throne room, your pastor, to testify of the same thing, that your sins are forgiven.
Og ligesom Jesus bragte vidnesbyrd i det himmelske tronrum, sådan sender Gud sit vidnesbyrd gennem en kirkes præst og bringer det vidnesbyrd til jer.
And by these two things, by the blood of Jesus and by the word of God, the devil is cast out of our own court, out of our own hearts.
Og ved de to midler, ved Kristi blod og ved evangeliets vidnesbyrd, der bliver djævlen drevet ud af vores hjerters domstolsrum.
They've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony.
De har besejret ham ved lammets blod og ved deres vidnesbyrds ord.
And so the church service is like a court case. And one of the first things that you do when you go to court is you have to make a plea. Are you guilty or are you innocent?
Så altså kirkens gudstjeneste, det er som en doms, en retssal, og spørgsmålet det er, er du uskyldig eller uskyldig?
And what do we do today? We came here and we said that we are guilty.
Og hvad sagde vi så, da vi kom? Vi sagde, jeg er skyldig.
We confess all of our sins.
Vi bekender vores synder.
And we hear the judgment of God.
Og så hører vi Guds dom.
All your sins are forgiven.
Og dommen er, alle dine synder er tilgivet.
The absolution is spoken first in the heavenly throne.
Først udtales tilgivelsen i himlen.
And then it's spoken on earth from your pastor straight into your ears and your heart.
Og derefter så udtales den her på jorden gennem præsten lige til dig.
And the third thing that results from that is now we're not afraid to die.
Og det tredje som følger af det står også i vers 11. De har ikke livet forkert til at gå i døden.
They love not their lives to death. And this is really important. We talked about it a lot yesterday, because if we're afraid to die, then we are held in slavery to the devil.
Vi talte også om det en hel del i går. hvis at man er bundet i frygt for døden, så så er det svært.
That's Hebrews chapter 2. It says that we're held in bondage by the fear of death.
I Hebræerbrevet kapitel 2 står der, at de var fanget af djævelen i frygt for døden.
But the Lord Jesus, when he forgives our sins, he makes death into a way to everlasting life, and he sets us free from that fear of death, so that we're no longer afraid to die, because after death for us there is no judgment.
Men Jesus kommer og forvandler døden til noget andet, så at det bliver en vej ind til himlen, fordi alle vores synder er tilgivet.
And so John can call us to rejoice. This is the last verse here. It says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to you, earth and sea." That refers to the unbelieving world. The devil has come down to you in great wrath. He knows his time is short.
Og så kommer glæden, som vi kan udtrykke med vers 12. Så fryd jer da, himle, og I, som har bolig i dem. Men ved over jorden og havet, for djævelen er kommet ned til jer med stort raseri, fordi han ved, at hans tid er kommet.
So I'd like you to imagine three courtrooms. You have first the court in heaven, and then you have the court on earth, which is the church service, and then you have the court in your own heart.
Så forestil jer, der er tre steder, hvor der findes en dom. Den første, det er i himlen, det himmelske, den himmelske dom, retssal. Den anden, det er i gudstjenesten, hvor det samme sker for os. Og det tredje, det er den retssalen inde i vores hjerte.
So the devil tries to accuse you in the heavenly courtroom, but Jesus enters into that place and the devil's cast out.
I himlen, der er det, at Jesus kommer, og djævlen forsøger at anklage, men han bliver kastet ud.
And then the declaration of the heavenly courtroom is brought down to earth in the church.
Og så bliver så det, der erklæres i den himmelske retssal, det bliver bragt ned på jorden i den kristne menighed.
And what's preached here now comes into the courtroom of your own heart, so that you know that the devil can no longer accuse you there, because the Holy Spirit lives in your heart and he is your comforter.
Og det, som så du hører fra Guds ord i gudstjenesten, det kommer ind i dit hjerte, og derfor så ved du, at djævelens anklager, de er ugyldige.
And this, I'm convinced, is what St. Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. So we'll skip down to that verse now.
Og jeg er overbevist om, at netop det her, det er det, som apostlen Paulus også taler om i Romerbrevet kapitel 8, som vi vil gå videre til nu.
So think of this this passage in terms of the three courtrooms.
Når vi nu læser Romerne kapitel 8, så tænk på det, vi hører ud fra de her tre retssale. Himlen, kirken og hjertet.
What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Hvad er det med at sige? Er Gud for os? Hvem kan da være imod os?
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?
Han som ikke sparede sin egen søn, men gav ham hen for os alle, vil han ikke med ham skænke os alt?
Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies and declares us to be righteous.
Hvem kan anklage Guds ud? Hvem vil anklage Guds udvalgte? Gud gør retfærdig.
Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us.
Hvem vil fordømme? Kristus er død. Ja, endnu mere. Han er opstået og sidder ved Guds højre hånd og går i forbøn for os.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all day long, we're regarded like sheep to be slaughtered.
Hvem kan skille os fra Kristi kærlighed, nød eller angst, forfølgelse, sult eller nøgenhed, fare eller svær? Som der står skrevet, på grund af dig dræbes vi dagen lang, vi regnes for slagtet for.
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Men i alt dette er vi, men i alt dette mere end sejrer vi ved ham, som har elsket os.
For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, that's a name for the demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
For jeg er vist på, at hverken død eller liv, eller engle, eller magter, og det er dæmonerne, eller noget nuværende, eller noget kommende, eller kræfter, eller noget i det høje, eller noget i det dybe, eller nogen anden skabning, kan skille os fra Guds kærlighed i Kristus Jesus, vor Herre.
So Christ has conquered, and we in him have also conquered the devil.
Jesus er sejrherre, og i ham har vi også besejret djævlen.
By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of God, and we love not our lives unto death.
Vi har besejret ham ved lammets blod og ved vidnesbyrdets ord, og vi har ikke vores liv forkert.
And that's our confidence in life and in death. That's the thing that gives us joy and peace.
Og det er vores det der giver frimodighed i liv og i død.
Amen.
Amen.